So I asked everybody a while ago, how you doing? I heard blessed over everything else. I'm glad to hear that. The title this morning is Speak Your Miracle Into Existence. And I've always believed God's word. I know that miracles happen. They happened in, recorded in the Bible. They still happen today. And I believe they always will until the end of this world. They will happen in this world as long as the church is in this world and the church follows God's word and God's will for their life. Everybody in this world is looking for something in their life. They're looking for an answer to a problem. We can call it a miracle. A lot of times it'll be a miracle. To some of us it will seem like, well, that wasn't a great big deal, but the person that's going through, it's a great big deal. I want to read the first scripture we got, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, please. This wasn't originally what I wanted to use, but Brother Scott has pounded this into my head because I don't listen as well as other people, and thank God that he did. He's preached on it. He's taught on it. Sister Teresa has taught on it. And Brother Scotty says two words, and I want to express that, that made the difference in my life between reading this scripture and having this scripture activated in my life. Lay hold. Now, that may sound like an old-fashioned, not very powerful statement, but it is. Because when you lay hold of it, you grab it, you hang on to it, and you believe in it, and you don't let go of it. And I know it by heart, but I'm going to read it. It says, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, meaning they're not of this world, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity. That phrase right there, brings into captivity. Whenever you speak against something, you speak against it. You don't let it speak against you. You lay hold of it. You bring it into captivity. You put it where it belongs, under our feet, where Jesus put it. He's already paid for the battle, and he's won the battle. All we have to do is accept it. It says, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, although the word say is not in there, where do words come from? They come from your thoughts. That's the way the human body is made up, from your soul, your mind, will, and emotions. Everybody here today, at some point in their life, including me, and everybody that's hearing my voice on social media, on everywhere out there, has needed a miracle in their life at some point or another. The lost folks need the first miracle. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty Son of God, that died on the cross for their sins, to break the power of dominion of sin on their life and the curse of sin, and to give them life and life more abundantly. And then you have the saved people. Now, I want to speak to the saved people, mostly because I was in the category where I wanted the things I heard testified about, the things I read about in the Bible, but they weren't showing up like everybody said they were getting them. I would even do like Brother Scotty said, I'm next. Well, it's good that I spoke that, and it's good I believe that, but there's some other stuff that's got to go with it. Number one, you've got to be born again to receive God's favor. You have got to be born again to have life and life more abundantly. And you've got to be born again to know God's will for your life. The very first thing God's will for everybody's life is to come to repentance. He says that in his word. He wishes that none. It's not his desire that any die, but all come to repentance. Once we come to repentance, that's the first step of the first day of the best days of the rest of our life. It don't always feel like it. Trust me, I know. I testified a couple of weeks ago. I had an affliction fighting me. It's been fighting me for 3 weeks. I'm not going to give up. I'm bringing into captivity whatever has come against me in the name of Jesus, and I'm healed. Y'all know my story. I was raised in church. I believed in healing. I believed in miracles. I know about them. I heard about them. But they were not taught to me like I was taught in this church. My dad told me, he said, "I am so glad that you are where you're at and planted where you're at in the church you're at." He said, "I know you're hearing the word of God. I can see it in your life." But he said, "You got a little ways to go yet, but you'll get there. I know you will." And he told me one time, he said, "I've been praying for all three of my children," because he raised us all in church. He said, "I'm finally to the point where I don't have to worry about you staying right with God anymore. I know you will. It's evident in your life." He said, "Now I've got to work on the other two." So I spoke with him. We prayed. What do you do when you pray? Speak. Sister Trace, that was a mighty good idea. I'm sure you got it from the Holy Spirit. You had to send me and Johnny around to ask people for prayer. For what we do whenever we prayed for them, the ones that wanted it. We spoke. I told her yesterday, most of them asked for healing. There was wasn't about four or five that wanted prayer. But when I prayed for them, I prayed for them biblically. I asked them if they were born again. Only one person said that he was. He's a member of another church somewhere here in Bluntsville. I forgot where it's at. But I told him, I said, "Well, I want to invite you to church, but I want to pull you away from your church. You know, if you, Lord leads you, you want to visit, we're here." Because the next thing to do is invite them to church. But anyway, I spoke the prayer that they asked for over their life, but I also spoke, "Lord, your will be done, and this thing that they asked for will glorify you." In other words, I firmly believe, now God will heal to glorify himself people that are not born again. It's in the Bible. But how did he heal them? According to their faith. That's what I told every one of them. "Lord, according to their faith, your will and your word and healing act in their life." Now, most of the people told me, said, "Oh, we're good, everything's fine." And I thought, okay, I'm not going to push it. I'll go on to the next person. But the thing I want to push the most is, if lost people don't hear spoken word, they're not going to sit down most of the time and read the Bible to themselves. If lost people don't hear saved people pray for them, they're not going to go home and ask for somebody to pray for them. Has anybody ever had anybody ask them to pray for them here? I have. Have you had a lost person ask you to pray for them? I have. I praise God that there was enough testimony in my life that they wanted to come to me and ask me to pray for them. Another habit Brother Scotty's got I like, when you ask him for prayer, so let's pray right now. I thank God for that. That's taught me a lesson. You start speaking right at that instant. And God's word is very explicit about that. In Proverbs 18:21, what does it say? Life or death are in the power of the tongue. Now just because you speak something, does that make it so? Well, it says right here, life, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. You're either going to speak it, being born again, or you're going to sit back and you're going to just watch, or you're going to speak the wrong thing. In my experience, that's what I did. Whenever I did learn how to speak it, I learned real quick. You speak it. You speak it quick. You believe it. You hang on to it, and you don't back off of it. You don't have no gray area. Because not to speak it is the opposite of life. If you speak life into your speak words of life into your life, you'll have life. Who goes around saying, some people say it, I've heard them say it, but who in their right mind goes around, "Well, I wish I'd have a wreck today"? I don't know why I really say that. I've heard people say, "I wish I was dead," but they, and in my own life, I've said that in the past. I won't say it anymore. I'm going to say, "I live by the Christ Jesus' blood, shed blood of Jesus in my life, and I'm going to continue living in this life until God calls me home." But if you don't speak life, what do you got? There's not a gray area. Why is that? Because of the curse of sin in this world. Satan ain't going to leave us alone just because we got born again. He's not going to say, whoops, I lost that one. But whenever he sees the will of God working in your life and the word of God working in your life and you speak it, Satan cannot see your heart. He can see your habits. He can see your deeds. He can see what you do. He can't hear what you think. Now, he can maybe do something according to what you've done in the past. But whenever you speak against it, just like Jesus did in the wilderness, even though Satan used God's own word, because Satan is a legalist, he will use things that he knows he can use to tear down a born-again Christian if he can deceive them. He used God's word trying to deceive Jesus. And people might say, well, how can he do that? He's the Son of God. Because Jesus was also a man. Jesus could have and went over and started believing in the flesh. He didn't. He chose. He laid hold of God's word. And he's done what God's will was for his life. And he spoke those things that God told him to speak. So it says here, what you say, you'll have. Either gold and silver, blessing and life, or death, destruction, maybe even condemnation. All your words have effects and results. Always remember that. No matter if you're born again or not, but when you're born again, it's really important. Number one, I've learned this, you know, I don't go around saying things I shouldn't say anyway, but I've learned that my little grandkids growing up, they're little recording machines. You know, like I said, I don't use profane language or anything like that. But I would say something, and then they would repeat it. You know, it would just be something simple. I'd like me and April call each other Mama and Papa. Well, every once in a while I'll do something, and she'll say, Monty Hall. Well, guess what Miss Little Athena starts doing? She'll come up and say, Monty Hall. Now, I want to speak what into her life? Life, blessing, the word of God. That's what I want her to hear. I want that foundation in her life. Even though I had it in my life, and even though I didn't use it, I had the seed, that ministry seed in my life, and the foundation I could always go back to if I so chose to. And God gave me grace to live long enough that I could go back and I get born again. I was deceived until then. But I want to speak that into their life. So I don't go around saying stuff to them like, you know, goodness, y'all the biggest mess maker I've ever seen. I do tell them they make a big mess. But I don't tell them they're a mess maker. I don't speak bad things about them to them, anything like that. Athena's getting to where she can say words and put sentences together. Well, this morning, she had a little speaker, and I told April, I said, it's a Bluetooth speaker. I said, find something on your phone. A children's song. She found Jesus loves the little children. I didn't know that little girl could say that whole sentence. But she copied it off of that song. That's what I want her to hear. That's what I want her to hear from me. I did it with all our kids. I was talking to my grown son the other day. He lives in Blue Ridge, Georgia. And I still testified to y'all about that. I found out he's going to church regularly. He is attending Bible study meetings. He's changing his life, him and his wife both, my daughter-in-law. I've been praying for that for 14 years. I didn't give up. Because why? Because I was speaking God's word into their life. And God is faithful. Now, I know that they have to have made a choice to make. But praise God, something happened somewhere in his life because I witnessed to him, talked to him. And no, not trying to be overbearing about it, but I never tried to miss, I tried always not to miss an opportunity to talk to him. Hey, y'all going to church? And when I was talking to him the other day, it came up and I didn't even have to ask. And I'm telling you, it's such a blessing to sit and talk to him about God's word like I used to talk to my dad. That is a result of speaking a miracle into existence. And it was not me. The only thing I did is held on to God's word and done what God said to do. And I didn't back off. I laid hold of it like Brother Scotty tells us to do. since I've learned that, and that's been a revelation to me, every single thing that I come across, I lay hold of it. When I get a revelation out of God's Word, I lay hold of it. This is one of the revelations that we all need to get. I got it. I'm going to lay hold of it. I'm not speaking anything contrary to what God's Word says I can have, I can be, I will do, and I won't do. I'm going to be all I can be for God. God give us 7 openings in our head. 2 eyes, 2 ears, you know, each side to your nose. He only give us 1 mouth. And most people can't control that. I thank God he didn't give me but 1. Because it's been a hard road to control my mouth. And I'm not talking about just what I say to others. What I say, period. Especially about me. When things happen to me now, I've learned. I say, I'm healed. And I'm not going to let go of it. If something comes up, the very last thing that changed in my life was at work. Things started happening. I've testified about it. It got on my nerves. I got ill. I got upset. It changed the whole person that I was. It's what happened. It got worse and worse and worse, until one of the higher-ups in our company, the safety guy, he's a Christian man too, and he knows that I'm a Christian, and he come to me and said, what's going on with you? He said, I'm worried about you. I said, oh, everything's okay. He said, no, he said, I'm hearing things. He said, used to the Monty that I knew, everybody talked good about you. There, nobody had a bad word to say about you. That was God's grace right there. He said, here lately, I ain't heard nothing good about you, except that you show up for work and work regular. He said, but while you're here, you cause turmoil everywhere you go. That cut me. Because this man's not talking to me like a safety officer for my company. He's talking to me like a brother in Christ. So I start bringing up excuses. Well, this is happening and that's happening, and it oughtn't to be that way. You know, it's hard to deal with. It just didn't happen overnight. It's this and this and this and this. And he waited till I got through, and he said, Monty, you know what's going on with you, don't you? And I just kind of sat there and looked at him. He said, you're going through trials. And he said, we're fixing to do something. He said, I'm going to call your boss in here. And my boss says he's a Christian too. And he said, we're going to pray. And we're going to pray for you right now. And I'm going to lay hands on you, and we're going to get rid of this thing. And he said, God's going to help you with it. Man, on the inside, I melted. Those words done more to help change me besides the words I spoke over myself. And I said, when we got out of there, I said, Lord, help me. I never, ever want to go back to this place again. I had just almost destroyed the Christian testimony I had in my life. Brother Scotty made a statement here a while back. It is not good for a Christian person to have a bad attitude, especially at work, because work is a mission field. Jesus did not have a bad attitude. He got angry one time in the Scriptures, but he didn't have a bad attitude. He had a zeal for the Father and the Father's house. It's the only time he ever got angry that the Bible records, and I'm sure that's it all. But he never had a bad attitude. He never told even his disciples whenever they lacked faith or they didn't believe or they didn't speak, and they were human. What did he do? Well, in John, if you read John chapter 17, before he left this world, he prayed for them. And he's taught them, and he told them what to do. The Bible's message is clear about the tongue. James chapter 3, verse 2. Will you put that up there, please, Travis? For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. And if anyone does not offend in speech, what is speech? Words. Never says the wrong things. He is what? A fully developed character. Now this is Amplified Classic Version. And a perfect man, perfect meaning mature, able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. The number one thing that born-again people have for me it was, learn to control your carnal nature, the flesh. The flesh made me, well, I ain't say made me, the flesh, me reverting to the flesh and not thinking spiritual like it tells us to do in Romans. I was not saying spiritual things. I was not thinking spiritual things. I was not speaking them. I was speaking the opposite. So if you don't speak the words and God's word for your life, you're going to get the opposite because there's nowhere else to go. That's what happened to me. I'm going to tell you from firsthand experience. After that man prayed for me, I went out and I prayed and I told God, I got on my knees. I went to my truck, got beside my truck and back in the back in the parking lot, and I got on my knees and I cried out to God, said, God, I'm sorry. I repent. Lord, if I ever start doing this again, Holy Spirit, sir, help me to see my way and not go back this place. Almost immediately, things started turning around for me. I testified about it. Jobs got better. Pay got better. It's still getting better. I still haven't topped that $2,400 a week yet, but praise God, it's still good. I'm not about to mess that up. Has it been easy? No, because things has not been easy. Some of the same things have been happening. But I said, Lord, you'll handle this. Your word says you will. I'm going to put it on you. It's on your hands. I'm going to do 1 Peter, chapter 3. I'm going to cast all my cares upon you, and I'm going to let you handle this because I can't. I got some other things I'm believing God for. And I sat down and I wrote them down, and after I wrote them down, I spoke them out loud and prayed to God. I put the words out there. I put some things on Facebook the other day. The reason I did that is because as I was reading it, I got stirred up. And that's what the Holy Spirit was doing when I asked Him, like I just told you before when I prayed. The Holy Spirit was reminding me, this is what you do. Now, I wasn't going back, felt like I was getting close, but maybe the Holy Spirit knew there was something in there that maybe might trip me up. I started reading those scriptures, and then after I read them, I put them on Facebook. And then I'd read them again on there, and then I'd read them again. And then Sister Teresa and Brother Scotty has been telling us about the things she went through, what she do. She got her scriptures out, and she read. She spoke. When you read the Word of God, speak it out loud. Spoken word is powerful. It's one of the most powerful things we have. Oh, we put up Job 22, please. This says, thou shalt also decree a thing. Decree means to speak something, to declare it. And it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. That is powerful. The Holy Spirit gave me that scripture, and whenever I read it, I said, Lord, all that Job went through, and he spoke this, what happened in the end? And he went through a whole lot more than I've ever went through. I'm going to say that right up front. I mean, I'm not going to say bless his heart. I'm going to say praise God. Now, I want to be along the same lines as Job as far as I want to always praise God no matter what I'm going through. It's not easy. It is not easy. This thing is trying to take a hold of me. It's not going to. I've not slept more than 5 hours, no, 3 hours in the last 2 weeks in any night. It's a small miracle I'm standing up here talking this morning, not coughing my head off. But praise God, I'm healed. I don't care if I go back yonder and it's all you can hear out of me. I'm healed. Do you hear me? And I'm not going to say anything different. And praise God, last night I got studying, Brother Scotty, I went to Deuteronomy 28. And I read the first half of that chapter. I shall be blessed going in, I shall be blessed going out. I shall be blessed in the city and blessed in the field. And all that I do, God's going to bless me. I'm not going to believe anything any different. Because everything that comes from God is a blessing. And so that's what I'm going to speak. Job tells us right there's power from God when we speak, when we declare. The born-again saints, us, have that power. We have that covenant connection with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. No other group of people in history have what we have in the existence of the world. The mighty men of God and of old, they had the power of God. They seen Jesus, the prophecy of Jesus. Well, we're living in a day and time where we have a more sure covenant than what they have. I stopped and thought about it the other day, and the Holy Spirit laid them on my heart. God worked everything that He worked. He wasn't reacting to what Satan was doing. He was working His plan from the very beginning, the foundations of the earth, to give us a more sure covenant that cannot be broken. The Israelites broke their covenant again and again and again with God, and He gave them grace to the point that He had to do what He had to do. But He still didn't break His covenant. But He gave us one, no matter what. It can't be broken. We can lay it down. We can speak it out of our lives, I guess, if we want to. I'm not going to. Jesus paid a high price for that. God paid a high price for that because He loves us. And every time you open this book and you start speaking the Word of God, that covenant starts working in your life and it won't stop. The only way to stop is if you stop. It will slow down, and I'm sure it will stop. I've not had it stop, but I've had it slow way down. I know two things about me. Number one, if I'm not in the flesh, I'll be honest about how I am. Even if it hurts, I've told my boss before. I said, I know I'm not easy to work with, but that's how I am. I don't say that anymore. I went back and apologized to him and said, I know I can be not easy to work with in the past, but I'm doing my best. You know, I call them and ask them if I get done with something, if I got a little time, is there anything I need to do that I can do now? No, we've got everything covered. It's okay, I just want to check. Not every day, but when I think I got enough time to do something, I call them and ask them. The Lord laid on my heart to do that. I want to turn around. I want to put that junk behind me, and it, like Brother Scotty says, I ain't got no rear view mirror. I ain't looking at it no more. I'm looking forward. And I'm going to speak what God gave me to speak. I'm going to speak miracles into my life. I'm going to speak things into my life as though they are, even though they are not. Bless Brother Richard's heart trying to teach me that over to CB going down the road several years ago. And I just couldn't get it in my head. And he said, Brother Scotty, he was telling my Brother Scotty's preaching. He gave me a chapter and verse, and he said, he got a little bit aggravated at me because I told him, I said, I don't see how you can say something that ain't so. That's a lie. That's exactly what I said, Brother Scotty. No disrespect to you or anybody else. Now, how many times y'all ever stumped Brother Richard? I did once this time. He got real quiet for about 5 minutes. And he keyed up the CB and he said, I don't know what else to tell you except when I stood up and praised God, testified that my bills was paid, they got paid. Then he stumped me. I don't know what else to say to that. Thank you, Brother Richard. You are included in all that instrumental working of the Holy Spirit in getting my hard head turned around. I don't have a hard head anymore. If you come at me with something, I'm going to be like Brother Scott. He said, what's the Word say about it? If I can't find it in the Word, then I'm going to have to ask the Lord about it. I'm not going to speak anything over my life that's not in God's Word. If I can't say it and it doesn't line up with God's Word, then I'm going to pray and ask God, and He's going to give me an answer. Then that's God's Word. I started out talking about miracles, but praise God, it's going to work. Don't matter if it's a miracle, if it's just plain everyday life. I'm telling you. I am the harvest of the seed ministry of Faith Way Christian Center, standing here before you. The teaching and the preaching of God's Word. It's not prosperity for your money. It's prosperity for your life. Man, I've seen times in my life, I was raised. My daddy did like Brother Scott. He traveled all over North Georgia and East Tennessee preaching every weekend. And I was right there with him. But yet whenever I got grown, my life was upside down, inside out, right, left. Now most of it was my choosing. But Satan had me on a rubber band doing this right here with me. I didn't know which way to go, which way to turn, because I'd heard God's word. I know God's word said this. Well, if I straighten up a little while and do this, nothing changed. Why didn't anything change? Because I was not born again. You can't speak God's word into your life until you get born again. Then what you speak into your life is repentance and redemption. I am redeemed. I'm bought back from that junk. I ain't got to go back. And I ain't choosing to go back. And we put up, where'd all that time go? Mark 9:23, please. No, I'm sorry. John 14:12. I'm sorry, Travis. This is Jesus talking. Brother Scotty says, this is red letters in most Bibles. He says, I assure you, this is Amplified Version, most solemnly I tell you, if anyone steadfastly, what does steadfastly mean? It don't mean if you believe sometimes. Steadfastly means you don't back away for nothing. Nothing. If you steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these because I go to the Father. That's the power of every born-again saint and every member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this world, God's kingdom. Think of the greatest thing Jesus ever did in this world. We can do greater. And it ain't me saying it. Brother Scott said this. Jesus said it. For those out there that's not in our congregation this morning, if you go to a church that does not believe in what I'm saying, because I'm giving you scripture, I'm not trying to pull you away from your church. If you don't go to church, come visit us. If you go to another church and they don't preach this, I suggest you find another church. Because if I had not had this in my life, I'd still be on the end of that big old rubber band, Satan would dangle me every which way. I might have died in the deceit of my sin thinking I was born again. Where would I be? Thinking the whole time that I was born again, I was okay. I was not okay. Search your heart. Make sure if you walk out that door and God calls us home, or if you pass away, where you're going to be. There's only one way you can be sure. The Holy Spirit will let you know. If you don't know for sure, then you come see some of us here at Faithway Christian Center. Everybody I know of and I've seen in this congregation, what I've seen in your life, you're born again. You youngsters, if you're not getting God's word, because you need to start when you're young. Because if you don't start doing these things when you're young, whenever you get older and you don't even have the Bible to look to, the world takes over. The prince of this world, Jesus even said, the prince of this world, being Satan, is constantly trying to take everybody out. And he's trying real hard with the born-again Christians. And the only ones he can even come close to is lying to them, deceiving them, and making them think they don't have any power. And Jesus said right here, we have power. We have authority. Now, we put up... we're on page here. Mark 9:23, please. I know we have all heard these scriptures. Trust me, I've heard them. I've read them to myself over and over and over again. I can read them without looking at them. I know them by heart. That's good. That's why we keep hearing them over and over and over again. When the revelations comes to you, guess what? They're not old anymore. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible, him that believeth. We put up Romans 8:28, please. I chose these two scriptures because we hear them all the time, but I want you to connect them. I want you to pretend in your mind they're right under each other. one after the other. So we see Mark 9:23 says, and Jesus said to them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. And now, Brother Paul tells us through the Holy Spirit, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. If you're born again, you're called according to His purpose. If you can believe it, and God, and you trust God in His Word, all things are possible. And God said here in His Word, all things work together to the good for those that are called according to His purpose and love God. If you're called according to God's purpose and born again, and you follow God, like it says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, I didn't give this one to Travis then, but I know it. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Because, I'm going to paraphrase, when a man comes to God, he has to believe that He is. The man has to believe that God exists. And not only exists, but he has to believe that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So if you start reading your Bible and you start putting all these Bible verses together that I've been taught for the last 15 years, thank God. Now I know how to teach my kids. They've been taught it. I'm teaching my grandkids. When I witness to somebody, and I've done it before, and they'll ask me certain things, and I'll say, because I'm born again. And I said, it's not because I'm anything special compared to you, it's just that I'm different. I believe that there is a God. He is the creator of all the world and all mankind, nothing else involved. I believe that Jesus was His Son, and He come to earth to pay for the debt of sin, which is death for all of us, and He paid for what it took to break the curse of sin over my life. If I believe that He done that, and I do, then I'm redeemed. I'm bought back into the same standing that God gave us in the Garden of Eden. I had a man one time look at me. He asked me something about the Bible. I said, have you ever read the Bible? He said, no, I hadn't. Man, we standing there talking after work one day, and I spent about 30 minutes just quoting Scripture and talking as fast as I could talk. About bit my tongue. I thought, man, this is an opportunity here. This man has never read the Bible. You know what that told me? That means that nobody's been able to put some religion in his head. And to a point, Satan can't deceive him about the Bible because he ain't heard it. So I told him, I said, this is what the Scripture says, and this is what I believe because the Scripture says it. It's not because I believe it, but it's because God said it. He said, you know, I didn't know that. I said, I understand that. You just said you never read the Bible. I said, you need to read your Bible. I said, if we walk away from here and we both get killed, I said, I'm going to heaven. I said, if you've never read your Bible, it tells me you're not born again. You're not going to go to heaven. You're going to go to eternal torment, a place called hell, and it is real. And he listened to me for about 45 minutes, praise God. He don't work for us no more. I pray. But I got to plant some seeds in his mind. What he does with them is between him and the Lord. But my point being is that words are important. You've got to speak. Sometimes when I pray, I used to do it a lot, just about every time I would pray. I would pray to myself. But even here at church, when I pray, I may not say it real loud, but I speak. I say the words. I don't, like if I'm standing here reading this, I'm reading that verse, okay. No, I speak it. Because I got the revelations. If I want something, according to God's word, I got to speak it and believe it. You can speak it and not believe it and you won't get it. I don't understand how you can believe it and not speak it. Maybe you can. But if you believe it and not speak it, I ain't saying you won't get it. But Jesus said, if you take Matthew chapter 6, the whole chapter, we ain't got time for it. But he starts talking about it. He talks about giving to the poor. Then he starts talking about praying. That's where the so-called, I'll call it so-called prayer. But Jesus said pray in this manner. In other words, this example. That's a whole message in itself. Then he started talking about fasting. And then he started talking about thought and saying. When he said, take no thought saying, that means don't have the thought. If you have the thought, don't say it. If it don't line up with God's word. Why are you being worried about it? If you are worried about it, don't speak it. Because when you speak it, you put it into a completely different category. And now you got to unspeak it. Well, how do you unspeak it? I can tell you how. I did it. You go to God and you say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. I have said in my heart, I believed your word. I've said in my head, I believed your word. But I wasn't speaking it. Brother Johnny, I love you. I know you do, brother. I spoke it. Now, if I never spoke it, you might not even know it. You might believe it because, you know, we get along good. But you're my brother in Christ. I love you. I love each and every one of y'all. Just like I told the man that I give the gift to, a gift of money to, and it wasn't $20, it was a little bit. He said, why would you do that? I said, because I love you. Because the love of the Lord Jesus Christ is in me. It's not because I'm a big person or anything. I said, this is what God does, because I've already been witnessing to him while I was training him everything. And I said, this is what the love of God does to people. And I said, on top of that, it gives me peace. I said, I listened to some of the things you talked to and the problems you had. I said, I have problems like that, but I said, I can go to bed at night and I know one way or another, when I tell God, this is yours, God, I can't do it, it is going to be worked out. It's going to be done. And I said, I don't wake up the next morning worrying about it. I said, if it comes to me, I said, I've learned, I speak against it, I speak it down. And he looked at me, and I don't think he knew what to say because he didn't say nothing. And he finally said, well, I appreciate it and I thank you. I said, all right. And he turned around and said, why did you do that? I said, I just told you. But I said, the biggest reason I've done it, I'm speaking a seed into your life. I want you to be born again. I want you to see an example of how Jesus taught people to be. I said, I've been being taught for 15 years. And I said, it was water. I said, I'm not even ankle deep probably. I said, I've got a lot to learn. I'm not perfect. But I said, I have the love of God in my life. My life has changed and turned around so much, and God has blessed me every day and still does. And I said, even whenever I wasn't doing what I was supposed to, he still blessed me. And I said, when I start doing things according to God's will, I start speaking things into my life, things happen. But I said, you need Jesus Christ, the shed blood of Jesus Christ over your life. He said, what does that mean? So that told me he didn't listen to some of the stuff, so I went back all over it again. He listened, and then he left. He called me the other day. He said, I just want to tell you, I love you. Thank you. I said, have you been born again? You know what he told me? Not yet. Praise God. He said, not yet. There's hope. I'm going to speak that hope in that man's life. Because I know what it did to change my life. I'm going to keep speaking it. I'm not going to back down. Does it always look that way? No. Philippians 4:13 tells us, I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. We hear that all the time. We need to hear it all the time. You don't eat just once and you're satisfied, right? I needed to know that I can do all things through who? Jesus Christ. I can't do all things without Jesus Christ. I tried it. I couldn't do much anything. And the things that really count in life, I could do nothing. As Christians, we've got to develop the I can. I can be healed from the affliction, the disease, the cold, whatever comes against me. I can have a better marriage. I can have a better life. I can get free from any addiction, not recover, free. I used to be an addict. I'm not recovered, I'm free. I can recover from financial crisis and trials. I have, I am, I do, I am. I can be delivered from anger, jealousy, fear, and doubt. I have, I am, praise God, I'm not going back. But I'm going to tell you something. You can lose a lot of sleep doing that junk, and it does not feel good. You know what happens when you worry about it and go to sleep worrying about it? When you wake up worrying about it? Nothing. Absolutely nothing happens. I can climb this impossible mountain of trial that has come against me through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death through Jesus Christ who strengthens me and fear no evil. I can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible. If I leave anything with you this morning, read Psalms. Don't have time to do it. Y'all go home and read Psalms out loud, 118, 17 through 24, and 103, verses 1 through 5. Put your name everywhere where it says you and thee. Speak what God tells you you can have. If you ain't got it, speak it. You can have it. God said so. I believe it. I'm not going to give anything else, any other voice in my life. That's final. Thank y'all for listening to me this morning. Anybody got anything they'd like to say?